Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, the year in review. So far, 2020, you've probably forgotten, started out pretty good. The previous winter, we had learned a new word. We've learned a lot of new words. Polar vortex. And that thing was the low point in a low winter of lows. Last winter, not bad. Pretty good. Mild. I don't think we skied once last winter. We did go to Hawaii for that family obligation and departed Honolulu International as a man from China arrived there with the virus. It started in China. All viruses start in China, including the 1918 Spanish flus, and there are reasons for that. And the virus began as a virus, and then it morphed into the thing. And the thing includes the shutdowns, the masks, or not, the hand washing, or not. One local clergy person essentially saying that anyone who doesn't wear a mask is a murderer. And we tried to follow the science. And then the thing got politicized and Katie barred the door. And the spring after the polar vortex was rainy. The summer was dry. But if you remember, the rains came back in the fall. This year, at the beginning of August, the crops were looking pretty good. And then I was reminded why. Whenever I say that, the farmer says, so far, so far. And they say we get a derecho about every 10 years, but I've lived 50 years around here. I've never seen anything like it. And then we had the election. And I think after the election, nobody was happy. When the governor told the churches to stand down, we stood down. For 6 weeks, we were denied gathering together in this holy place to receive the gifts of God for the people of God, to worship the one true God. And there were 29 people here on May 3rd, and we rejoiced in that number. And every week, somebody new was back for the first time since the thing. Now, finally, I actually know a lot of people who have actually had the virus. Of course, I've been exposed myself over that now. It's been kind of a rough year. But you know what? We've seen worse. You know that saying, sometimes it's just a matter of perspective. Sometimes it is. There was a reason why the Israelites were compelled by God to wander seemingly aimlessly hither and yon in the desert, and they did it for 40 years. God remembered his people. Slaves in Egypt. And in the Old Testament, when God remembers, it means he's about to do something about it. And what he does about their slavery, we call it the Exodus. And he uses Moses. And Moses was a flawed man. It's the kind of man God always uses because that's all he ever has to work with. We're all flawed. Sending Moses and the plagues, God defeated Egypt, then destroyed them in the Red Sea, the means of Israel's salvation, on to Sinai and the Ten Commandments, and a precursor of things to come. When Moses came down from the mountain with the tablets, Israel was doing what they were doing. You know what they were doing. They were doing what 400 years of Egyptian culture does, worshipping anything and everything, and as was common for the natural man, the Egyptians especially liked their cows. And they liked their cows young best to worship, not to eat, just to worship. It's one more thing the Christians have changed. We eat animals, but we don't worship them. But the West is returning to that pool of vomit as well. And it took them only, well, MAPS says it takes 117 hours to walk from Cairo, Egypt, to the southern border of Canaan, probably a week or two. There it was, laid out in front of them, that land flowing with milk and honey. And you would think that having witnessed what God had pulled off against Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, but no, fear overtook trust. There are giants there, man. Giants. Nasty terrain, that wilderness of sin. Like Utah, only worse, and for 40 years. What's for breakfast? Manna. What's for supper? Quail. We're thirsty. Again? It's where the sons of Korah decided to remove Moses, and God removed them with a large hole. They did have a lot of political support. The people complained about Moses constantly. And what does Moses do? Well, he continued to do what people like Moses do. And I suppose in the wilderness, could have been worse. True. Sometimes it is just a matter of perspective. Sometimes. And Paul was not in prison for 40 years. Paul was in prison for only 5 or 6 years. And it was split up into 3 separate arrests and imprisonments. And his entire life was kind of a constant trial, sometimes before magistrates and judges and the like. And when Paul is not in jail, he's doing other things. And what kinds of other things was Paul doing? Well, he talks about it for a whole paragraph here in 2 Corinthians. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes, whips above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. That's what he did when he wasn't in prison. I don't know, maybe prison is kind of a relief, break, downtime. And what did he do when he was in prison actually 3 times for 5 or 6 years? Look, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Which, ironically, is the thing that got him thrown into prison in the first place. But some were converted by his preaching. And he wrote letters. They're known as the prison epistles. It means a letter. Epistle is a letter. To a Christian named Philemon. To Christians at Colossae, the Colossians. To Christians at Ephesus, Ephesians. To Christians at Philippi, the Philippians. And he says from prison here, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Trust in God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace. Shalom. The reminder that God is in control of the world, because sometimes it sure doesn't look like it. Oh, and this from Paul from prison. Finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Could be worse. Could be worse, right? It's true. Sometimes it's just a matter of perspective. Sometimes it's just a matter of what we choose to fill up our brains with. I rediscovered that music is a good thing. Been listening to music lately. When I'm in the car, I can choose to listen to the news and people talking about what's in the news 24/7. Or, if you subscribe, it's just a matter of telling the phone to play Amazon Prime Country Classics and the phone will take it from there. Sometimes you would think that this is the first time anybody's ever been sick. Or that this is the first time we've ever had this particular virus. It is. But all viruses are part of the world after the fall. They're all different. They're all over the place all the time. Not one of them is the same. 1928. Alexander Fleming did not invent, but he discovered penicillin, as you know, kind of by accident. There's a plaque on the wall at St. Mary Hospital in London commemorating where he discovered the first antibiotic. I think it was on the second floor. The leprosy that afflicted those 10 men who cried out to Jesus for help, it was probably bacterial. But Alexander Fleming had not yet even been born, and there was no known cure for leprosy. No cure, and you were outcast from decent society. I told you I was exposed, so I kind of avoided people for a couple weeks. During my exposure, my couple weeks, I saw Cousin Dave stand out by the blacktop. I was going out somewhere down at the end of the lane. A lady had run her car into the ditch, and Cousin Dave and the firemen were supervising. So I rolled down the window, and he started to walk over, and I said, "Unclean, stay back, unclean." And he did. And I was joking. For these men, it wasn't a joke. And how many sick people were brought to Jesus during his three-year ministry? Quite a few, quite a few. And what kinds of disease does Jesus cure? What kind of disease have you got? Then there was that one time he did sort of assembly line healing. Bring him in the front door. That's done. Out the back door all night. And when does it all end? It doesn't. Sickness never ends. Mostly, people came to Jesus for healing because they trusted that he could do that. These men, when they spotted Jesus, they knew who he was. They cried out, "Jesus, Lord, have mercy on us." And as often is the case, he did. But in another place, there's no evidence that the man let down through the roof had faith. But the people who brought him to Jesus were believers. They trusted God. And the man was healed, as you know. Me, I've been kind of annoyed. It's better now. With that left knee acting up. That's why I haul only one load of firewood in a day. Lift and twist and mind. We need to stand about one load of that a day. So we've been doing the homeopathy, heat, rest. It's not as annoying as it used to be. It'll be okay. And you know, it could be worse. It's annoying, but it could be worse. In fact, I know a lot of people now who have had the virus. I know a lot of people have things that are more serious than a knee acting up. It's true. Sometimes it is a matter of perspective. Those 10 lepers, they were designed to live a life of social isolation. And that's not a good thing. And in fact, that can kill you. And that is killing people. For them, waiting for body parts to dissolve little by little until that's it. They thought, they believed that Jesus could cure their incurable disease, and of course they were right. And he did. And you know what happened then. One of them out of the 10, a Samaritan, 1 out of 10, it's about normal, returned to Jesus and thanked him. So St. Paul, that man had a rough life, but I think he would not have traded that life for the world. A rough life. And do you remember when those troubles, those hardships stopped happening to Paul? When did they stop? When he died. He was beheaded outside of Rome. There's a church there, St. Paul, outside the walls. And then he went to heaven. And Israel, after they had wandered for 40 years in the desert, where did they end up? Destination Canaan, a good place. Moses speaks of the time in the wilderness as a time of discipline. Like a father disciplines his child, that's pretty nasty stuff, for the good. Therefore, Moses says, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Meaning, if you don't like that, if you didn't like those 40 years in the wilderness brought on by your unbelief, then don't do that again. Instead of unbelief and misbelief and mistrust, believe and trust in the God who delivers you from all evil. So I've never been to Canaan, modern Israel. Pretty soon. But the land described here by Moses, Canaan, sounds a little bit familiar. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks and water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and you are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Wilderness wanderings. Yeah. If you don't like that, brought on by your unbelief, then don't do that again. Instead of unbelief and mistrust, believe and trust in the God who delivers you from evil. And finally, from Moses, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgment, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. That also sounds familiar. You know what I did the day after the election? That day was Wednesday. So I went to work. Then I went home and had a nice supper, watched a little TV, went to bed. Next day, did pretty much the same thing, repeat. And I've already decided what I'm going to do if I get the virus. Maybe I'm not even going to know I have it, like one family member. Or maybe I'll be sick as a dog and almost die, like her husband. The worst case scenario is that I'll die, like Moses died, like Paul died, like all of the 10 lepers. Some of you, when you came to church on May 3, some of you who were high risk said to me, if I die, I die. And I suppose I'll say that if I get the virus. But I don't. And it's true. Sometimes it's just a matter of perspective. Like I said, I don't watch the news much, but I do know what's going on. And I peek in on the news now and then, so I know what's going on there too. Now, it's not hard. It's mostly the same thing. And then there's no music. There's no music on the news. And you know what else isn't on the news? Can you imagine if one of your favorite talking heads or one of the experts on whatever ails you of disease and the like, what if one of them says on the news, I think we need to trust in God more. I think we need to trust in God. And not just any God. I think we need to trust the Christian God. I think our problem with this thing and with all that ails us is our unbelief. No, I don't hear much of that out there. Out there, nastiness, anger, sadness, fear, trust in self, trust in this, that, or the other person, organization, government. Trust God? Crickets. So, you came to church tonight. 1 in 10. It's about right. It's that place where we come to hear anew the good news. God loves you. Jesus died on the cross to take away your sins. To have troubles and pain and suffering is the lot of man in this fallen world. But it could be worse. In fact, we could be going to hell, but we're not. It only ends one way for us, and that's not in hell, but in heaven. And this holy space is where we came to come to praise God, who has blessed us abundantly with crops, with material blessings, and with eternal life. It's the place where we go about an hour every week, bonus 45 minutes extra this week, to hear His Word, to dwell on that Word, and to maybe sing some music as well. And music here is good too. And maybe hearing that Word will help us to keep things in perspective. And sometimes it's just a matter of that. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the canticle hymn, My Soul Rejoices, 933. We rise.